It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Larry, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Beautiful time of year and beautiful mornings that we've been getting. It's interesting the pattern we've fallen into in the last several days. Chilly mornings with a good of warming happening later in the day. The 67 degrees that was recorded earlier this week at the Weather Service was the warmest temperature for the whole month so far, which is a little surprised by this time of May, because we often have a day or two in May that is quite warm, over up 80 degrees or maybe even more. At my house, we had into the 70s, a little bit of an impact from the lake there. We are approaching now the middle of the month of May, and I have said on the program before, and I'll probably repeat it many more times, is that the first half of the month and the second half of the month are often quite different. So we'll see if there's going to be a change. The cooler temperatures have gotten down into the 20s. We had one day this week where we almost tied a record for the coolest temperature for the date, and that was on the 11th, when the temperature dropped down to 25 degrees in the morning. At my house, it was 24. Well, the record for that date was 23. So we're almost record setting. I've been seeing ice quite a few times in the mornings, but the afternoons warm up, but with the breeze, it still feels cool. So we'll see if that's going to kind of pattern will continue as we get into the second half of May. The other statistic, the one that bothers me, the coolness we can live with, but the other one bothers me is precipitation way below normal, virtually none. We even had a thunder shower pass over during the night one day this week. However, it had very little rain in it. And we've had a couple other days of sprinkles of such, but nothing much. It is interesting, and most people don't realize this, that we live in a part of the world that has a rainy season. We tend to think of that as being other places, but no, we have our own rainy season. And yes, it begins in May. Now, we'll see if that really happens. The months that have the greatest precipitation for us in this area are June, July, and August. And so it starts off in May. That's our rainy season. We'll see if that's to happen. We are now approaching, at this time, mid-May, 15 hours of daylight. The days continue to get longer as we move toward the summer solstice. The summer solstice in June reaches a maximum of almost 16 hours of daylight. But let's look back to the other side for a moment, and that is the nights. The nights are shorter now with the longer days. Some of the greatest stargazing and sometimes very good aurora will take place at this time. So as I said, we are now in the new moon phase. We have a second full moon coming up at the end of May. I have been following very closely the hawk migration taking place in West Skyline, and the counters there are just superb. You not only count the raptors that come across, and right now the biggest numbers are those of the broadwing hawks. There's also still a lot of bald eagles, turkey vultures, sharp shin hawks. They're all coming across as well. But the broadwing hawks seem to be in the most numerous. In addition to all the counting of the raptors, they look at any other birds that coming across. Now, there's a lot of water birds that have been coming through, and many of these we have had a chance to see. Thanks to the ice breakup in April, and suddenly we have a bunch of open water, and these waterfowl come forth to get there. Swans and pelicans are the two big white birds. The pelicans that congregate at Chambers Grove, there are some that are still there. But there's a lot of fishing going on, and so the pelicans have, many of them have moved on. Had experience this week of looking out in the swamp that I go by every day, and I have been seeing a pair of Canada geese out there for weeks. Well, this week, I knew they had a nest there, but I didn't see the nest. But this week, I saw the babies. Two of them, two little Canada geese known as goslings. It's an interesting thing when Canada geese have a nest and have their babies. Shortly after the babies hatch, the parents pick up with the babies and they move somewhere else. So it's not an unusual thing to see some goslings with the parents at one site, but then you come back little bit later, and they're not there anymore because they've moved to another place. In addition to that, there's been an interesting thing. These are not migrants, but it's an interesting thing. The gallinaceous birds, those are the chicken-like birds we have. We have only two kinds here. We have the grouse and we have the turkeys. Well, the grouse have been drumming, the rough grouse have been drumming every day, and I hear it usually on my walks. The other one, no, the turkey has been really interesting. We have a male, a tom, turkey tom somewhere around here in the woods that has been gobbling very loud, usually very early in the morning. And one day this week, I stepped out on the road in the about dawn, I stepped out on the road, and there was the tom displaying and gobbling to a female that's nearby. She apparently was not interested because she wandered off in a different direction. So anyway, that's another thing going on now. But the really big migration that I've been watching every day is the songbirds. And we have a tremendous variety of those. We have the sparrows, of course, of several species, at least a half a dozen. We have blackbirds of several kinds, including the red-winged blackbirds have been coming back for quite a while already. But it was just this week where the female red-winged blackbirds started coming back. They're often at least a month after the male. And then there are the various thrushes. These include robin, bluebird, thrashers, hermit thrush, Swainson thrush. They've all been here. Then there's cowbirds, which is another kind of blackbird. There's rose-breasted grosbeaks and orioles been reported. Vireos been reported. Flycatchers and swallows. But the one that I watch the most, and it gets to be this time of year, is the warblers. We happen to live in a part of the country where we have a nice, big, large, diverse group of warblers that come through every spring. About half of them will stay to nest, and the other half continue to move on further north. The word warbler gives the impression that it's singing. Well, some of them do, but a lot of them don't. You want to learn warblers, good luck. It's worth it. But you need to have a good binoculars, and you need to have some patience and a good reference, and wonderful thing to look. I'm so glad that we have such a good group of warblers coming through here, and there's new ones every day. The clear nights are usually a sign that there is migration going on because they will migrate at night and then to get out the next day and see them. I've also been using a merlin. The merlin has its ability to serve like as a hearing aid because a lot of times the birds are a little hard to see, but the merlin will tell us what is there. So it's been a great aid to have that. In addition to that, we've been having reports from our neighbors of a bear family wandering through. I haven't yet seen them, but I expect I will. And then I've been seeing every day the otters at the lake have been very active, as well as the beaver and muskrat. I've seen them all, porcupine, the whole bit. They've been active. All these mammals have been active. Now, one mammal that I haven't seen that I'm sure is active, but I just haven't seen it yet, are the bats. The mosquitoes have started to show up, but they're not very numerous. There's been different kinds of butterflies, dragonflies, and so forth. But we're going to see quite a bit of change as we get further now into May. Among the reptiles and amphibians, the turtles I've been seeing quite a bit of. I have yet to see any snakes, though I've had them reported to me that people have been seeing garter snakes. And then there are some frogs. The frogs, the early group of frogs, has pretty much calmed down now, but I'm expecting now, yesterday, I think I heard the first gray tree frog calling, and yes, they do. They're calling from being up in trees. When it comes time to lay eggs, they have to go back to the water. Other things of note, the trees have really made a difference. The leafing of trees a week ago, I talked about how it starts low, things like raspberry and gooseberry, elderberry. As we proceed through May, it starts now to get into the trees. And this week, really noticed it with crab apples, weeping willow, swamp willows, and then the quaking aspen. They have really started opening their leaves. We're going to be green very quickly. Now, what goes on in these leaves, and this is why the migration is so important at this time. A lot of the leaves have, they open their leaves, they open the buds. Well, right in that same area of the buds, there is eggs of caterpillars, and the caterpillars hatch. And here, right next to them, is this delicious leaf, and they start to feed on them. If there was nothing to come along to eat the caterpillars, these trees could get defoliated. And the birds show up at about time for that. In addition to the trees that I just mentioned, we have lilacs with their leaves open. We have a number of other things like ironwood having its leaves open. We have alder. We have tamaracks out in the swamp are starting to get their needles back. The flower, the buds, the blossoms, we call them, in the trees, I have started with some of the domestic ones, like forsythia, but I haven't seen them yet with the wild ones. I expect, maybe before the day is over, I expect to see the small trees of the roadside, wild plum, juneberry, pincherry, elderberry, all of these to have white blossoms. And I expect soon we'll be seeing those, and they really take over then for about a week or so along the roadsides. In the woods, one again, part of this wonderful timing that goes on, before the leaves come out too much on the trees and the sunlight penetrates all the way to the forest floor, there is a plethora of wildflowers that will take advantage of it, and they'll grow. I was walking out at Jay Cook this week, and I saw just in a single walk like 15 kinds that are in bloom. They range from some of them that were just a scattering, but some other ones that were just very common. There's a lot of spring beauty, there's a lot of bloodroot, and there is a lot of trout lilies, both yellow and white, that are in bloom now, and they will continue. But probably the one that's going to steal the show as we get further into the month is going to be the large flower trilliums. Large flower trilliums, that name trillium, T-R-I, they have three petals, they have three leaves, they have three sepals, and they stand up quite tall, and they stand up usually with a whole big group, and sometimes the whole woods will look like it's still white. They just started this a couple of days ago, and we're going to see a lot more of them, and the season lasts for quite a long while. Also of note is out in the swamps, the marsh marigolds are doing a good job now of blooming, and they're bright yellow gold, and they're hard to not notice them. And you see a wet site, and you see something yellow, that is often the marsh marigolds. Also in the woods, the forest floor, are fiddleheads. Quite a variety of them. The ones that I've been seeing the most are interrupted fern, but there's also ostrich fern, lady fern out there as well. So, great time to get out and take a walk in the woods. The woods of May is spectacular, and whether you're looking at the wildflowers, the trees, the warblers, or the butterflies that might be showing up, it is quite spectacular. So, yeah, take care and enjoy. Have a good one.
Thanks very much, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.